Greetings from Faith, Love, and Truth Publications, and welcome to our first podcast. My name is DC Muzan, and I am the founder of Faith, Love, and Truth Publications. Among other things, we here at Faith, Love, and Truth Publications are serious and faithful ministers of the Word of God, which we live by. Our podcast focus on the Word of God, the Scriptures of the Holy Bible, faith, which comes by hearing, receiving, and believing within our hearts, the Word of God, and power, which we receive from the Word of God through faith in Him and His Word to manifest the presence of the Lord in our lives, to live righteous lives, to love the Lord and others, and to do whatever the Lord has called us to do, to be effective witnesses unto Him and His presence. We plan to present our podcasts on a monthly basis, with a new one presented each month, and we are beginning a series on salvation. This is Podcast 1, Salvation, Episode 1. To begin, we are addressing the crucial issue of salvation because we have learned that over the years and even in today's time, many have received different versions of information regarding salvation which are not supported by the Scriptures of the Bible, and it is important that the Lord's people receive truth according to His Word. Therefore, before we begin to address the experiences of salvation, we would like to address some background issues surrounding obtaining salvation. The gospel, good news of salvation, was first promised and presented to the Jews, also called Hebrews, who were God's chosen people, and Judaism, their religion, was not only their religion, but it was their entire way of life. The foods that they ate, where they lived, their education, how to marry, how to raise children, even how to bathe, was their way of life as ordered by God. Therefore, for the most part, the rest of us could be considered to be Gentiles, also known as heathens, pagans, all who are not the original people of God, including those who may have been brought up in a Christian church. The Old Testament provides us with valuable history and information about the nature of man throughout history and his relationship with God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 to 17. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, sin was passed on to all mankind through their bloodlines, and that is why we are all born into sin. So from the time when Adam, Eve, and the serpent, also known as the devil, were cursed by God, a Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ was promised to come into the world to save man from his sins and to place man back into right spiritual relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. In the Bible book of the prophets foretold of the Savior that would be born into the world to save people and set things right. We can read in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15 and in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. In Romans chapter 10 and verses 8 to 17, the Bible provides us with the basis of experiencing salvation. And it also confirms to us that we begin by hearing the Word of God from a qualified teacher and preacher who is called and sent by God. As we hear, receive, and believe the Word within our hearts, then we begin to acquire faith in the Word. Then by our faith in the Word, we can then state with our mouths what we have believed within our hearts, which equals salvation by our faith in the Word of God. As indicated in John chapter 4 and verses 10 and 14, at the time of our initial salvation experience, a well of living water. Living water is a spiritual name for the Holy Ghost. So a well of living water of the Holy Ghost is created within us that is gradually filled like a glass of water with more and more, bit by bit, as we fill ourselves with more and more of the Word of God and the Lord. This is the initial filling of the Holy Ghost within us. John chapter 7 and verse 38 to 39 mentions the Holy Ghost baptism, which is promised to those who have already believed and received their initial salvation experience in accordance with the Bible as mentioned in the scriptures above. The scriptures that we previously mentioned. The genuine Holy Ghost baptism does not merely come upon someone, but as the Lord Jesus stated, the Holy Ghost baptism occurs within those who already believe in him, and it occurs from within someone, out of his belly, like a volcano that erupts and flows out to immerse and baptize the entire person from the inside out. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4 confirms this as it states, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And it should be noted here that it is the Spirit, when we pray in tongues, it should be the Spirit that is giving us utterance and not our memories or us or, you know, just or what we hear somebody else say. It is the Spirit that is giving us utterance. Thus, they were filled to the point of eruption or overflowing and baptizing, being completely immersed in the Holy Ghost from the inside and inner being, overflowing onto the total being. The inner filling of the Holy Ghost anointing is the Jesus within us, the love of God, our comforter, our teacher, our guide. And the Holy Ghost anointing upon us is the anointing that we receive for service to preach and teach the word and the gospel of salvation and the other spiritual gifts to act in the place of the Lord Jesus Christ according to his commandments. Jesus made it possible for us to receive the fullness of his Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to be transformed into Christ-like beings and to continue his work in the earth. So in summary, we are saved by our belief and faith in the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost baptism is promised to all those who have first been saved by faith in the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not saved by the Holy Ghost baptism, as some have taught. We first need to be cleansed by washing, preaching, and teaching of the Word of God. The Word of God cleanses us, and by acknowledgement and repentance of sin. And that needs to take place. And then we need to receive the Lord's salvation as stated in the scriptures that we mentioned before. As the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible states, neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break and the wine runneth out, the bottles perish, but they put new wine into new bottles and both are preserved. That's Matthew 9 and 17. And no man put new wine into old bottles, else the new wine does burst the bottles, the wine is spilled, the bottles will be marred, but new wine must be put into new bottles. And that's Mark 2 and 22. Now, I'll stop right there. Many who have come and tarry for the Holy Ghost, and they have received, maybe they've received some cleansing, they stop smoking, they stop drinking, they stop doing drugs. But if they were not cleansed by the Word of God, if they did not sit under the Word and be cleansed and did not repent of their sins, the wine spilleth out. They receive some wine, but it spills out. It runs out. And that's when you can tell where people have not developed any godly character. I've seen people that claim to be saved for years, and they have no godly character whatsoever. They're liars, thieves, murderers. They hurt people. They gossip. They curse. They're just harmful beings. Harmful excuses for human beings, but they're in church and they claim to be saved and they claim to have all these gifts and all these anointings, and they have more anointings than Jesus Christ himself. Jesus said, by their fruit you shall know them. So we are to be careful to know them that labor among us and examine their fruit, because some have putrid, rotten, stinky, slimy fruit. And those people are not saved. Now, to continue, Jesus said, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. That's John 15:3. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That's Ephesians 5:25-26. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. That is Luke 24:45-49. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the utmost part of the earth. Acts 1:8. The Holy Ghost within us, our salvation experience, cleansing by the word. This is what cleans us up. This is what transforms us into Christ-like beings and gives us the love of God for him and for our fellow man. The Holy Ghost upon us is for service. And the primary service with all the gifts is that we can be effective witnesses unto him and his presence in the earth through his Holy Ghost. So the purpose of the anointing upon us is to be living witnesses unto Jesus Christ according to what he commanded his believers, followers, and disciples to do. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that's John 8:31-32. There is a definite difference between being filled with the Holy Ghost baptism, which is the eruption of the overflowing filling, and the Holy Ghost being upon one. For a few examples, prophets and godly men were filled with the Holy Ghost. Evil men were not filled with the Holy Ghost. And evil men today are not filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit within measure came upon men to perform on God's behalf. However, the anointing upon someone could be taken away, like when God took his spirit and anointing away from Saul, when God rejected him due to his repeated rebellion and disobedience against God and his word. Yet when Saul was seeking David to murder him and entered Ramah, where the prophet Samuel and his company were prophesying and worshiping the Lord, Saul was overcome by the anointing, aka tapping in. He fell down and he also prophesied and worshiped the Lord. But when he removed himself from the anointing, he continued to seek David to kill him. So just because we may see someone operating or tapping in a service and being used by God, he could be used by God, he could be being used by the devil. But when he comes out of that, his character, his fruit, that's what tells us who he really is. There are those who were taught and led to believe that they were saved by seeking to receive the Holy Ghost baptism, when in fact they had not experienced salvation according to the scriptures. They may not have had the word or gospel of salvation preached or taught to them. They may not have heard about or believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they may not have believed in God at all. Yet they were persuaded to come to the altar and pray or tarry to receive the Holy Ghost, and perhaps they even had a spiritual experience. However, as Jesus stated, new wine, the Holy Ghost, is not put into old bottles. And the old bottles represent the unrepented, the unsaved, the old sinful man. Else the bottles break, the wine spills out. While some may have had a bit of a spiritual experience and maybe received some initial cleansing from things like smoking, drinking, drugs, etc., the new wine, the Holy Ghost, ran out. And the person is either the same or worse inside, in heart. And he or she is deceived into thinking that he or she is saved, when in fact, he is not. These go on to not manifest any changes in heart, character, behavior, or conduct, and often proceed to become worse individuals than they were in the beginning, being filled with the works of the flesh. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, which includes homosexuality and being on the down low, lasciviousness, lust, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do some such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verses 19 to 25. Now let me stop right here, because there are people who don't know any better. They're learning. They're gradually learning how to live for the Lord through His Word. And maybe they make mistakes. Maybe they slip into things. The Lord is not unmerciful. He's not talking about them. He is listing things that are against the Word. But when you see someone after 30 years or so, and they are still operating, they go from bad to worse, and they are operating all these works of the flesh, something is wrong. Something is wrong with this picture, and they are deceiving themselves, because they are not saved, they are not serving God, and they're just, as the Bible says, deceiving and being deceived. Anyway, so an important note for us to remember: throughout the Bible, gospel books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus provided several instructions for us to listen, hear, realize, and know what we're getting ourselves into before we make a commitment that we don't keep. Matthew 10, chapter 10 and verses 36 to 39, chapter 13 and verse 57, Luke chapter 14 verses 26 to 33, John chapter 5 verse 41, and chapter 15, verses 18 to 19, give us an idea of Jesus warning people and also letting them know up front what the criteria is before you seek salvation. You should know what you're getting yourself into, because there are challenges. You are going to be tested and tried and persecuted by the people closest to you, by the people that are supposed to be helping you. You know, people within the church, your pastor could try to kill you. I don't mean murder with a gun, but just try to destroy you. There's like Jesus said, a man's foe be they of his own house. So the people closest to you, because the devil can't use people that you don't know, or people that you have no relationship with, or that you don't care about. He can't use those people against you. He will use people that are closest to you, your husband, your wife. I've seen husbands destroy their wives, destroy their marriages, just make people feel like nothing. You're nothing, and I'm everything. And, you know, mothers and fathers destroy their children. Children have destroyed families, destroyed their parents, destroyed homes. All of this, we are being warned, but nothing can be worth more than a relationship with the Lord. Everything that we have to go through, that cannot compare, that cannot, first of all, compare to what Jesus went through for us, the suffering that he went through. His flesh was ripped up in shreds and torn from his body. He was crucified. He bled to death. I don't see anybody down here experiencing that. I don't see anybody willing to take one hit on behalf of someone else. Jesus suffered. There's nothing that we go through to experience the mental and physical pain that he went through. And nothing is worth laying him aside for anything. Nothing in this lifetime. Nobody and nothing is worth giving up, giving the Lord up for. So, in other words, our salvation experience is a lifelong marriage commitment, a lifelong union between us and the Lord. And in a marriage, it is wise for us to learn as much as we possibly can about the other person before we commit to the union. It is important to note that before we even attempt to experience any of what we have previously talked about, we need to return to our very first principle of first listening and hearing the Word of God from a qualified, God-ordained preacher and teacher. As we hear and receive and believe the Word within our hearts, we then begin to acquire trust and faith in the Lord and His Word. Then by our faith in the Word, we can then state with our mouths what we have believed within our hearts, which equals salvation by our faith in the Lord and the Word of God. I hope that you have enjoyed or gotten something, some benefit from this podcast. And we, as we stated, we will be issuing one per month and give people an opportunity to digest the material. And we will also post the material somewhere in our commentary section on our website. You can access our website by going to fltpub99.org, and that will take you to Faith, Love, and Truth Publications. And have a blessed day and a blessed month and a blessed new year.